Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 103. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Kathy McGinnis, director and co-founder of the Institute for Peace and Justice. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. Kathy McGinnis and her late husband Jim founded the Institute for Peace and Justice almost 50 years ago. Part of that organization was Parenting for Peace and Justice. She served on the board of directors when I was the head of Alternatives for Simple Living, and they wrote the Biblical Reflections one year for Alternative Signature Publication, the Advent Christmas booklet for families and congregations, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? We'll hear those reflections, along with contributions from others, in the November and December episodes of Simple Living Works podcast this fall. I'm pleased to put those reflections into context by introducing Kathy in this episode. Here's Kathy, recently recorded. If I'm correct, you and Jim founded this organization over 50 years ago. You've accomplished a lot in those years. Can you give us a little bit of history about the Institute for Peace and Justice? And then later on, we'll talk about what your current programs are.
Well, it actually hasn't been quite 50 years. It's 40, I think we said 47 years. And the history, it started in 1970 as a peace studies program at St. Louis University. So it was an academic program in the beginning and started because obviously at that time it was the Vietnam War and the civil rights movement. And at that time, the university had decided to keep their ROTC program, but to move it off campus. And several of the faculty members felt that if they could have an ROTC program, they could have a peace studies program. So that was sort of the genesis of it, the origin of it. Jim was teaching part-time and working on his doctorate at the same time. So that's when it began. And then for the first 5 years, it was part of the university. Then we became an independent nonprofit and began working with schools, with teachers, with kids, with families, with church professionals and other groups, social service agencies from then on. The issues we've dealt with over the years, of course, have ranged always peace, nonviolence, including conflict resolution and racial justice, other economic justice issues, sexism. So it was always peace and justice and always putting those two together, feeling that you couldn't work on one without the other. And of course, that includes lifestyle issues. So it included issues around environmental concerns and what that means for us in our own personal lifestyle. It all included personal lifestyle. What can we do individually as well as what can we do as a community?
With Jim's passing a couple of years ago, I understand you have a new partner in your work.
I do have. Our oldest son, Tom, is working here in the office, and that's been fun. I mean, anybody that's ever worked with one of their kids knows that there's always challenges to that, but it's been really fun. I think we have both enjoyed it.
Now, along the way, you also founded the Parenting for Peace and Justice. Is that a program of the Institute, or is it a separate organization, and what are its main emphases?
It is a program of the Institute, and it was really our biggest program from, the early 80s, I think, until the early 2000s. And its emphasis was to say what all these different issues, all these different peace and justice issues, what does that mean if you're raising a family, if you're nurturing children in some way, what does that mean for you? And a lot of times people used to say, well, I can't go to rallies all the time. I can't go to protests. I can't march. I've got kids who have to do their homework. And so, well, then what can you do in the home as well as outside of the home? And how can the families as a family, be concerned about issues outside of their own home. We still do Parenting for Peace and Justice work, but in a different format now. We used to do a lot of workshops, but those days are kind of over, and partly it's just, I think, a passage of time, and many of the churches and schools just really don't have the funds anymore to have a full-day workshop. We have an electronic newsletter called Peace Pieces that goes out quarterly, and we do it on different issues and try to incorporate in it what can you do if you're a parent or a grandparent or somebody else who is nurturing children in some ways. So that's kind of how we try to keep that focus alive. Now, in addition to that, now one of the programs that we're in the process of planning is something we're probably going to call Family Conversations on Race. So it's taking the whole issue of racism and saying, all right, how do we talk about that in our families? And then how do we as a family stand for racial justice? So that's kind of where we are right now.
Well, now you're in St. Louis, but I think that this organization has had a national focus. Am I correct?
That's correct. Right. Mm-hmm.
But you also focus on issues relevant to St. Louis. Tell us a little bit more about those.
Well, right. And as you probably, as most people know, in terms of the news, right now, of course, the racial justice issue is a real high-profile issue in St. Louis right now, and has been, of course, in 2014 with the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson. It was a high-profile issue then, too, in terms of nationally. So that's one of the reasons that we're doing concrete. We've always done work on racism, but we're doing even more of that. Most of that work is in collaboration with some other agencies in St. Louis that are doing work on racism. But this Family Conversations is a program we're developing ourselves. We also work, probably our biggest program right now, and one we're hoping to expand, is we do a lot of work here in St. Louis with women who have come out of prison. We do some work with men also, but most of our work, because we're in collaboration with a group that works with women who come out of incarceration, so we do conflict resolution. We call it SOS, solving our situations, positive problem solving, helping the women figure out when they come across a problem, how to deal with it in a way that's assertive rather than aggressive, passive, or passive-aggressive. So it's a nonviolence problem-solving conflict resolution program. And we've also done some advocacy around criminal justice issues. Some of those issues have really come to us from conversations with the women when they tell us what's going on in their lives. And some of that advocacy has been legislative advocacy, and some of it we're planning now. We're a program to go out to some employers who, as probably know, there are a lot of employers who are reluctant to hire people with records, especially if it's a felony record. So trying to figure out a way to try to get some employers willing to hire. It's one of the biggest issues that people who come out of prison face, obviously, is not being able to get a job or not being able to get a job that pays a decent wage or one that they keep. They end up getting a lot of temp jobs, but then as soon as one little phase of that job is over, then they're out of work again and they have to start the process all over again. So that's one of our bigger programs. The other one here in St. Louis, we're working with youth who are connected in some way to the St. Louis City Juvenile Court or the St. Louis City Family Court. And these are kids who are not currently incarcerated. Some of them have been, some of them haven't. They're on probation or they're under court mandate in some way. And most of them have to do some kind of community service. So we've been able to arrange with the courts twice a month. They meet with a woman who's a contract worker for us who's phenomenal with young people. And she works on leadership development. She does some job readiness for them, and she does self-esteem building. It's really, it's always amazing to me, the kids will say to her things like, nobody ever asked us what we thought about things before. So it's really a matter of respect, treating the kids with respect. And we've had really good success in terms of the kids. The court worker just says, wow, the kids, they talk to each other in a different way. They talk to me in a different way now. And I think she told us close to 100% of the kids we worked with in the last sessions didn't return to the court system at all. So those are our bigger programs now here in St. Louis. So most of our work is in St. Louis now. We still have that electronic newsletter that goes out, and we still have some resources that people buy, and we still communicate with people around the country, but most of our work is here in St. Louis.
Well, that's very encouraging, Kathy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, Missouri is officially a red state, and I don't want to stereotype, but I'm just wondering if you're having to deal with white supremacists, or you're having to deal with climate change deniers, or if you're getting some pushback from people because of your work.
Well, Missouri is a red state. However, St. Louis is not that way. The city of St. Louis definitely is not, and even parts of the suburban areas are not. However, parts of the suburban areas definitely are very conservatives. I don't know. There's not a lot of pushback on climate change that we've experienced. People seem pretty much, most people around St. Louis seem pretty much on board with that. Now, if you get out into the rural areas, people always say Missouri is an odd state. It's like there's St. Louis and Kansas City, and then there's the rest of the state. It's almost like two states that you could pull out the urban areas and then the rest of the state. So, and since most of our work is in the urban areas, we're not experiencing a lot of that kind of pushback. There certainly are white supremacist kind of groups, but they're not as prevalent here as they would be in some other parts of the country. Now, again, if you get down, especially into the southeastern part of Missouri, you'd find more of that.
Well, Kathy, you and I have known each other for over 20 years, and we've worked together when you served on the board of directors of Alternatives for Simple Living. Well, you and I can make union between simple living and peace and justice. I mean, one of the tenets of voluntary simplicity is to do justice. Are you still able to incorporate voluntary simplicity into your work?
Yes, in that there are times when we get asked either to write, something simple, or to talk a little bit about that, about what that means, stewardship of the resources of the earth. So, yes, I think now we don't have a program right now that's dealing specifically with the whole environmental concerns area, especially the justice parts of that. But we certainly do in conversation and any work, and we probably will do in one of our upcoming Peace Pieces newsletter, do it specifically on lifestyle issues around simplicity. So, I think a number of the things that we used to talk about are pretty much, for many people, like the whole issue of recycling, for example, for many people is almost a given. But there are a lot of other aspects of voluntary simplicity that are not necessarily a given for people. So, yes, I think it's still there. It's not one of the issues that we end up spending a lot of time, not because we don't want to, but just because the other issues have really become bigger issues for us.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Would you like to talk a little more about the future of the organization? I don't mean to be at all condescending, but it's been what we would call a mom and pop organization for quite a while. Do you have, you know, future plans? What is it going to look like in 5 years or 10 years?
Well, I don't know that for sure, to be perfectly honest. I have a board of directors that now includes more younger people. So I think it'll be a decision. The board is very soon going to be looking at the whole issue of succession. Whether that will happen or not, I really don't know for sure. There are clearly a lot more peace and justice organizations now than there were when we started. So I don't know for sure if the Institute will keep going. That's still a question right now, to be perfectly honest. So we'll see. We'll find out as the next couple of years unfold.
You've been listening to my conversation with Kathy McGinnis, director and co-founder of the Institute for Peace and Justice. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, click window number 3. Also, it really helps our visibility when you give Simple Living Works a 5-star review on iTunes. I urge you to subscribe to one of Simple Living Works' free publications. Our blog includes the Weekly Digest and the Weekly Nudge. Just send the word blog to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. I hope my recent short features add positively to the national conversation about social change and support the voluntary simplicity movement. Need a nudge? I've been producing today's Simpler Living Nudge for over a year and a half and welcome you to subscribe for free. Receive a short, thought-provoking item every day by email or Twitter. Just send me an email with the subject nudge at simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. I receive interesting responses, which you can read on simplelivingworks.org. Click on Recent Comments in window number 5, or see the link in the show notes. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to the podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast, our weekly blogs, and daily nudge are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a set of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than personal happiness, though that's quite important. As you may sense, we put a strong emphasis on social justice. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor, their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need. awaiting what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.